As we all know, the book of Acts details, well, the acts of the apostles and their fellow evangelists. Through the outpouring of the Spirit, they have gone about the lands, expanding Christ's early church. And that's where our text for today picks up with Philip, one such evangelist. And Philip is quite busy. God seems to yank him from one adventure to another. Everything about our narrative abounds with spiritual guidance. There's no human planning involved in Philip and the eunuch's encounter on the road. There is no possible way this could have been a random conversation that led to the conversion of a man who, by all accounts, would have been an unlikely convert. And yet, God, through his Spirit, has Philip take a particular road leading from Jerusalem, the very road that the Ethiopian eunuch is on. So Philip obliges, by all appearance having no clue why he would be told to take such an isolated journey after a smashing success at Samaria just a few verses before. And the Spirit tells Philip to join up with the chariot, running beside it. So, imagine, Philip's jogging along in the sweltering noonday sun when no one would be traveling because it's so hot. And yet, in this perfect timing of the Spirit, while he's running up to this chariot, Philip hears the eunuch reading aloud from Scripture. And reading aloud from Scripture would have been a common practice of the time. They didn't read silently like we do today. And wouldn't you know it, Philip understands him, even though the man is from another region, which means, once again, there has been God's hand in having the men able to converse and read together in Greek as the common language. The Holy Spirit's hand still doesn't stop. The scripture passage read could not have been a coincidence either. This particular passage is from the prophet Isaiah, and it's from a section about the suffering servant who, like a sheep, is led to the slaughter, submitted to the death that was not his own fault, but took it on anyway. Can you feel the wheels of Philip's head turning? Who does that immediately make you think of? The inspiration and the hand of the Spirit upon him as he realized the man's need for understanding Scripture so that he might hear the good news of Jesus Christ. The Scripture invites conversation, which the eunuch receives so that he might have guidance about what it all means. What are all these pieces? And later on, when the eunuch desires to be baptized, wouldn't you know it, there's water along the very road that they're on. So God's Spirit constantly guides the encounter from start to finish, even going so far as to quickly remove Philip. He snatches him away from the area as the eunuch goes off rejoicing in his baptism. So the Spirit's agency can't be contested. God wanted this encounter to happen, but why? Why Philip? Why an Ethiopian eunuch? And why this scripture? We don't really have much from the scripture text about why God might have used Philip to preach to the people of Samaria and the Ethiopian, these people who weren't really desirable. We know that Philip served the wider community. Perhaps God had graced him with particular gifts to reach those considered outsiders. Perhaps it wasn't meant for the main apostles, the big guns, to ignite the conversions of these people through the Spirit. For some reason, Philip was the man for the job to understand and interpret Scripture, to provide service to others, and to preach. His work in Samaria was a success through the Holy Spirit, one that Peter and John recognized as bringing these outsiders into the community of believers through the Spirit. And the very person of the eunuch becoming a believer in Christ is just as unlikely. See, ancient Ethiopia during this time was considered the ends of the earth. So Philip, by witnessing to the Samaritans and now the Ethiopian, had been led by the Spirit to lead the charge and to the far-reaching impact of the gospel to all people. Jesus had told the disciples all the way back in Acts 1:8 that the Holy Spirit would come upon them and they would witness in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. The gospel has already been preached in Jerusalem. It's been preached and received in Samaria. So now the gospel has begun to reach the ends of the earth through the Ethiopian eunuch. In Ethiopia, as a eunuch, and if you don't know what a eunuch is, sadly, it is a castrated or impotent man. And this is very important because this made him be able to be a high-ranking official in the Ethiopian court. He was able to work closely alongside the queen without any room for scandal. So as a high-ranking official, he handled her wealth, which meant he had to be educated. He had to know common language in order to do trade. But in Judea, even though we know that he worshipped God because he was coming from Jerusalem after worship, even in Judea, the eunuch would have been seen as deficient, unmanly, and unable to be fully part of the Jewish community because he could not be circumcised. He wasn't able to be a full member of the Jewish community. Add his physical deformity to his foreignness as an Ethiopian, and the man perhaps is seen as even less likely a candidate for conversion than the Samaritans. Yet, the Holy Spirit wanted this particular man to receive the gift that is Christ. Barriers continue to be broken down as the Spirit works in the world for God's redemptive purposes. And we see this not just in the Spirit bringing these two men together in conversation and in relationship, but in the catalyst for that very conversation, which is Scripture. The particular scripture of Isaiah has a lot of depth. That is a whole different sermon. But it's important to catch a glimpse of what the Spirit is doing here with the convergence of Philip, the Ethiopian, and Scripture. The eunuch could understand Scripture. He was reading it, but he couldn't understand the Scripture on his own. He had just come from Jerusalem, so even though he wasn't Jewish, he knew and worshiped God. He got that part. And perhaps we can't know why he decided to read Isaiah on his chariot ride home. Maybe that was another prompting of the Spirit. But nonetheless, he knew this scripture, but even as he was educated, even as he was a believer, he knew that he still needed some kind of guidance to understand what exactly was going on with this text. By asking who the passage was about, the Ethiopian eunuch could now receive Philip's Spirit-filled answer. Philip shows through the Spirit how this scripture from Isaiah points to Jesus. Scripture is the jumping off point for proclaiming the gospel and bringing the eunuch to that saving faith. The Spirit worked through the eunuch reading scripture to prompt him to ask questions, inviting Philip to use the scripture as a means to bring the man to Christ. The eunuch had all of these tools, but he still needed guidance. You know, 1 year in high school, my history teacher decided it'd be a great time to take 30 high school kids and dump them in the woods with a map and a compass and tell us to go find some posts. And there were certain amounts of points, and whoever gets back to the bus, the most amount of posts with points got something. I have no idea what. He just dumped us in the woods. And so my group got our compass, we got our topographical map, and he sent us off with a little bit of understanding of this is how the needle points north. Go on your way. So we had all these tools, but we had no idea what to do with them on our own. We wouldn't have had any idea if we hadn't received even the tiniest bit of prior instruction from our teacher before running off into the trees. It was critical that my group and I worked together. I am very directionally challenged and would have had no clue, even with a compass, where I was going. But in our group, each person had a task that they were good at. One person held the compass, the other person double-checked the map, and the other two of us kind of just kept our eyes out for posts. We couldn't have done it alone. And so my group ended up getting very lost. And we ended up finding posts that weren't even on the map. But even then, we had to lean on one another to figure out what the map meant, which directions to follow, and how eventually to get back to the bus. We didn't walk alone, and we used one another, and we used the tools to help one another understand what in the world was going on in these trees. And the Spirit didn't let the eunuch walk alone. With all of the tools that he had, with all the faith that he had, there was still more to learn. Scripture and the Spirit, the Word and the Spirit worked together to illumine and expand his belief. And not only that, God had provided the eunuch with a person to teach him. Philip was there to guide and teach from Scripture about Jesus and proclaim the good news of the gospel for all people. Just as my classmates and I had the tools to find our way out of the woods, I was unable to understand how they all work together without guidance. And we can't understand Scripture only on our own understanding. It is not by our own power, but us and those around us, in relationship with us, and mentoring us, being empowered by the Holy Spirit to teach and understand and proclaim the gospel even to ourselves. Philip ministered to the Ethiopian, bringing yet another person into the community of believers through Scripture. The work of the Spirit through the reading of Scripture in the community Philip offers the Ethiopian demonstrates the radical inclusion of the gospel and the ever-present work of the Spirit. The Spirit's hand is in the reading and understanding of the Isaiah passage of the suffering servant, which Philip uses to share about Jesus as the Messiah. The eunuch's questions about who the passage is about is like questions of those who would have encountered Jesus saying, who is this man? Who is this man? And what is he doing? We want to know, what is this all about? Who is this all about? Jesus. The scripture has been the means of the Spirit opening up us, opening up the eunuch to questions, to learn more, to know the truth of God revealed in Christ. The passage of Isaiah immediately causes us to think of Jesus, who is the Lamb of God. And the eunuch, being who he was, possibly provides even more into why this scripture from Isaiah was read. You see, just a few chapters after the quoted verses, the prophet Isaiah shows that foreigners and eunuchs specifically are welcomed into the house of the Lord. No longer is the eunuch barred from full membership because of his foreignness, his ethnicity, or his physical deformity. Through Christ, in the Spirit, all are welcome. All are able to be brought into reconciliation and joyfully receive new life that is proclaimed through Christ, as we see in Scripture. Through joyful reception of baptism, the eunuch is marked as a full member of Christ's body, where with the old Jewish tradition of circumcision, he was unable to participate. The flowing waters of baptism are open to all who wish to receive in faith in Christ. The Spirit's work doesn't stop there. It's not done in the church. God didn't stop acting once the events of the Bible happened, or once everything in the Bible was written and then compiled together into the texts that we have today. God still acts. He still guides. And he still gives us the means to understand and experience him in our lives. God is with us. We don't walk this Christian life alone, and we don't walk it without any tools. We see this every day. We see this when we go to Scripture, the testimony we have of God's love and redemption of the world through Jesus, from start to finish. God cares for his creation. And it's not through our own power to understand, do, or plan our witness. It's only through the Spirit, diving into God's scripture and being guided by others and community, that we are able to witness and continue to mature in our faith. We can't separate the inspiration and acts of the Spirit from the study of Scripture. It's not an either or. Studying Scripture isn't some kind of sterile, boring thing like a textbook. It's work of the Spirit in our lives, testifying to us and nourishing us so that we may do the same to others. God gave us the means to experience him, to draw near to him, and draw others along with us. So I urge you not to neglect the study of Scripture. And it's very easy to do, isn't it? Maybe we're too busy. We don't have time to read. Maybe it's too old. Maybe it's too hard, because we don't understand all of the background. Maybe it seems that some of Scripture just doesn't have anything to do with us anymore. That was old, and It's boring. You know, I was listening on some road trips the past couple of weeks to my Bible app, because I was, you know, I don't have any time, but then I remembered I have my Bible app. I can listen to the Bible. And I was going along, and I got to the second half of Exodus, and then into Leviticus, and I was like, oh, this is boring. It's too many numbers, too many people, too many laws. But I caught myself, and I realized, Sarah, keep listening, because there are still connections here to what you know. And I found myself starting to ask questions of Leviticus and of Numbers. I was like, huh, hadn't even thought of that. Or that's a connection to this thing in the New Testament. Scripture all connects and makes sense. It connects to the gospel story that we know and that we live out. It can be invigorating. And we should praise God for the promptings of the Spirit to read and to ask questions of ourselves, of God, of others. If something gets difficult or you don't know, gather another Christian and ponder the scripture with them. Spend time in text, even if it's the same two verses for 3 weeks. Spend time in the scripture and pray that the Spirit will illumine everything that there is to know. It's not based on our human efforts, but we study it and we pour over it. Be like the Ethiopian and read it out loud. Have it heard. Listen to it. Ask questions. Pray together, study together, allow the Spirit-breathed words to nourish you and to sit in the presence of God and ponder all of God's love and his grace and his mercy and all the ways that he continues to act in his world. Invest in the way that we understand God, the way that we understand ourselves and our community, the world, and what it means to be a follower of Jesus Christ. Scripture, community, baptism, the table. These are the normal ways that we see God working to bring all people to him. And as our text today shows us, there are so many converging points where we experience God. Only through the Spirit are we able to joyfully proclaim the gospel to the ends of the earth, extending wholeness and joy to all who would believe. Scripture gives us a jumping off point to proclaim the gospel and a place where we can remember God's work in the world and what it means to follow Christ. It gives us a place to be nourished as we worship God with our very lives. We receive the Spirit's guidance, following where God leads us in Scripture and the community together, rejoicing. Will you pray with me? Lord, hearing your word proclaimed and reading the testaments of your acts, of the work that your Spirit does in the world to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ to all people, is a wonderful thing. We thank you for the means that you give us in order to draw closer to you and to draw others alongside us to become disciples of your Son. Continue to lead us and guide us as we continue to go into your scripture day after day and week after week. In Jesus' name, amen.